Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
We saw Jadeveon Clowney leave on that last series. What do you know, Chris Myers?
Well, at first over on the sideline, we thought it was a muscle pull, but when he came over here, he indicated to his teammates that he was keeled over in pain. I mean, eye-watering pain, and I don't know how you say this on television. Let's just say he got hit in the family jewels, and eventually he walked it off, told him he was okay, grabbed his helmet, wanted to be in on that goal line stand. They said, just wait, he'll be ready for the next defensive series, at least as ready as one can be.
Okay, Chris.
All right, Chris.
Attaboy.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
That's how you say that on TV. You just say it. And everyone at home knew exactly what he meant. Welcome back in. It's the McNeil and Parkin Show on The Score. Really looking forward to this. Talking to our next guest, longtime voice of Fox Sports. He's covered basically every major sporting event that you can have, and he's a new member of the Marquee Sports Network, and he's got a show, Play at Home Trivia, presented by Miller Lite. They got a new episode tonight at 7 o'clock. It will feature Dan Plesac, our friend, against Carlos Pena, going head to head, and you can play at home. Our guys Len Casper and Bruce Levine played last week. So again, it is Play at Home Trivia with Chris Myers tonight at 7 o'clock on Marquee, and Chris kind enough to join us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Chris, thanks so much for the time. How are you doing today?
No, I'm good. Thanks for having me on. It's good to be on with you guys.
Chris, good to have you. And looking forward to checking out my buddy, Danny Plesac. We played against each other once upon a time at the amateur level. I've always been a sucker for sports trivia shows. I don't know if you're old enough to remember Dick Enberg doing the sports challenge many years
ago.
Okay, you remember having professional athletes come in and you find out that maybe members of the Los Angeles Lakers don't know a whole lot about the NFL. It's always fun to see guys a little bit out of their element.
Yeah, I think guys are a little more worldly once they, at least they have the time and the energy to be more well-rounded once they've retired, stepped away from the game. But the episode tonight, you know, Carlos Pena and Dan Plesac, you have that pitcher-hitter mentality, and they both have, you know, Dan, obviously he's got a great sense of humor, and Carlos has this fiery, you know, swinging for the fences on every answer kind of approach. So it's multiple choice. So even at home, you can kind of follow along. And even if it's not your topic, you can make an educated guess. They're mostly Cubs baseball questions, but we throw in some Chicago entertainment, some Chicago sports for people in the Windy City. So, if you spend any time there, you'll have at least an educated guess. And then there's always the walk-off question. So no matter who's in the lead, and we had drama with these two, but no matter who's in the lead at the end, you'll have a chance. It's something like a sports Jeopardy. You can wager some runs against the other guy to try and rally. So it's a lot of fun. We have a series of these every week, and they're going to be rerunning. We have different matchups with different players, former players, Cub personnel, Chicago people. And it's, it's just something to break up all of us being at home and waiting things out and doing the best we can to have a few laughs. So it's competitive, but it's also a lot of teasing, heckling, and some fun in the questions.
How has it been as a new member of the Marquee Sports Network launching a new television channel without, you know, sports?
Without being right in the building. We did one roundtable in spring training, which was a lot of fun with guys like Lou Piniella and Ryan Dempster and and Glanville and Mark Grace, and then it was set to back up Len when he, you know, had some games. We had a series out in LA with the Dodgers coming up in May, and so a little frustrating for all of us because I, you know, you, it comes to deserve their own channel, Marquee Sports Network, and finally it gets here. They want to do it right, and something happens out of the realm of all of our beliefs. So they're putting on a lot of games, reruns, shows. A lot of people working hard from home as best they can within the health parameters. So we're frustrated, but you know, it's that's what's fun about sports trivia. You know, you said you enjoyed that. I enjoyed Sports Challenge, all kinds of game shows growing up, and so. It's a lot like sports, you know, a game show, because it's unscripted, really. You know, it's competitive. There's a winner or loser. You get a prize at the end. Here we donate to charity, a local charity. Whoever wins is part of that with Marquee Sports Network. So, yeah, that part's disappointing. I'm optimistic, though. You know, I'm on the 50-50 side of that. We're going to get some baseball, and I think we'll have an NFL season. And at some point, we will shake hands again. You know, so I think we're working our way through this, and sports will be back, and sports has always rallied us as a country, and it brought us together even when physically we can't be as close together.
Chris, you are a nationally recognizable sports broadcaster. You've got a lot of skins on the wall. What was it about getting affiliated with a local team on a local outlet that appealed to you?
Well, I began in local sports, worked at ESPN, and then of course Fox, and I had time between the NFL play-by-play with Fox and doing Daytona 500, the Westminster Dog Show, some of the other special events, and then the Whip Around Baseball Show. I had done some play-by-play before with Fox, but there were some windows of time over the spring and summer and into the fall. And when this channel came up, I thought because of the people running it and their background, a lot of people from MLB Network, Mike McCarthy, MSG, you go back, these are sports TV people that have done it before. The Cubs as an organization, growing up in Florida before there was their own team and had to watch baseball on a superstation or the game of the week, the Cubs were on every afternoon when I got home from school. So there was a connection there as just a young fan who, learning about sports and becoming a baseball fan. So the opportunity fit, and both Fox was delighted about it. Mark, he wanted me, and I thought there was a way to, whether it's studio or play-by-play or whatever form they need me, both were accepting of the other and working with the schedule, obviously before this happened. But that kind of how it fell into place. It was very, very appealing, and I'm excited to get it going, excited to be a part of, you know, even the play-at-home trivia show, just because it is something kind of fresh and different, and it's still sports and still having fun.
Play at home trivia on Marquee tonight at 7, hosted by our guest, Chris Myers. I love how casual right there, Chris, you could be like, you know, the NFL and the Daytona 500 and the Westminster Dog Show. Like, that's quite a top line on a resume. To what do you attribute that versatility?
Well, you know, I don't. I think it depends what the network needs you to do at the time when you're there. I grew up, well, like a lot of broadcasters, covering a lot of different sports, right? So you like them all, and you have the some that you're more familiar with or is more in your lane. Obviously, I never played professionally, but have always had great respect for those who have at any level really excelled in sports and really leaned on them as an analyst to not only call a broadcast or research a broadcast, but to enjoy whatever kind of work I was doing. So I like the versatility. And that's what's so frustrating about what's going on now for all of us. We have the seasons, the spring, summer, fall. I mean, it's, you know, it's baseball, and then it's, you know, the World Series, and then it's football, and there's the Super Bowl, and then February, it's the Daytona 500. And, you know, yeah, the summer, it's those slow days. So it's always kind of been that way as a fan for me, as a kid growing up. And so when I got into the business, I think I didn't want too much of that downtime. I felt like I was missing out on doing what I would do as a fan. So that's probably part of it. And then obviously if the network wants me to stay on it and work on it, that's the other part.
I don't know how you do the Westminster Dog Show without breaking into Fred Willard's character, Buck Laughlin, from Best in Show, who didn't take any of it seriously.
Well, I do have a few of those moments where I have to hit the key to the truck and they hear one version and then the odd air is the other. And I've been told a few times, Chris, dial it back a little. You know, I try to slide in a few, you know, if the Dalmatian is out, I might say, hey, there should be 100 more around here somewhere. You know, just stuff like that that makes me a little more entertained. The whip it one, I said whip it good for, you know, we tied it back to the air, a little bit of Devo. So we just, whatever, wherever, as long as we're not offensive to anybody or making fun of the show. But that was hysterical, best in show. As accurate as it was, it is funny. They were like, please don't go that far. Just enjoy the event. And this is very serious because we're naming best in show, and it's the longest running continuous event, competition after the Daytona, after the Kentucky Derby in America, you know, over 140 plus years at Madison Square Garden. So I'm a dog lover, and I became obviously more of, I won't say expert because I'm surrounded by experts, but it was an interesting challenge having covered a lot of other sports, World Series, Super Bowls, to take on something like this at this level, have to learn about it and immerse yourself. And the dogs are really the stars, and they're very unpredictable, as well-trained and well-groomed as they are.
We're talking to Chris Myers, McNeil and Parkins, his trivia show with Marquee Sports Network tonight at 7 o'clock, Carlos Pena against Dan Plesac. Chris, we've been bringing on at least one guest a day for a segment we just call Score Stories. Just, you know, there's no sports, so tell us some stories for yesteryear to hopefully entertain some people. And I was wondering if you could tell us the story of how it came to be that you're the guy who scores the first live interview with O.J. Simpson after his acquittal.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's when I was in the late 90s hosting Up Close on ESPN, and we had replaced Roy Firestone doing the show out in Southern California. We was going to come on the show before, obviously, he was charged with murder. We were talking to him and his agent or his representative. So when all of this happened, through the series of the trial, he was a fan of the show. He thought, you know, I was fair to the athletes I had on and would let them speak their minds. So as these trials, both trials, it was the first live interview because the murder trial and then the wrongful death suit, which he was, you know, he was found guilty of. After that, his agent and our guest booker on the show for Up Close had been in contact. Actually, it was his attorney, one of his attorneys and an agent. And so we reached out. He said, yeah, you know, he's a free man, you know, so he wants to come out, but he has two conditions with Chris. And I said, well, I have to ask whatever questions I want. There's nobody who's going to, I'm not going to hold back. Otherwise we can't do the show. And they said, no, you can ask whatever you want, but he wants to do it live because Barbara Walters was supposed to get the interview, but she would only tape it. And O.J. Simpson didn't want it taped because he thought people could edit it and make him look or change his story. So you had to do it live. And I think the other thing was he couldn't bring up his children in the interview. And I thought that was a fair enough a sort of guideline to say yes. So we agreed to it. And that's where the story really begins. It's fascinating. I had death threats. People thought I was putting a murderer on the air before this, before the show even took place. And he wanted to, you know, he wanted to do it. We were supposed to be 30 minutes live. Got a call about halfway through saying we're going a full hour or 55 minutes, which was interesting. But I had so much material in terms of I met with the lawyers, I met with police, investigators. I saw some evidence that even the jury didn't see. Obviously, you know, I had my own view of this, but I wanted to approach it as a guy asking the questions. I'm not an attorney, but I felt like one. It became so much where I was studying the case. I would be at home and they, you know, they'd say pass the salt and I'd say object, you know, and it was hold on, settle down. So I was really immersed in this. And then when we did it, it was, you know, one of the highest rated ever. It was really fascinating. You could tell he was kind of believing his own lies. He was very calm. We the first segment of the show were live. We're talking about his wife being beat up or cut up. And then we hit the break and he turns to me and says, you know, hey, I got a tea time out at Riviera. We need a fourth guy if you want to play next week. I mean, that's how in denial or out of touch he was. It was a fascinating kind of experience. Even the attorney, one of his attorneys in the preparing for it, told me, he said, you know, I wouldn't really, off the record, I wouldn't do the interview because everybody attached to him, it's toxic. It's not healthy. But it was an opportunity to do it, and I could let people judge for themselves, and I hope that they did. And you can still watch it, you know, on YouTube. It's fascinating to watch it all these years later to see how he answered the questions, knowing what we know now as years have gone by.
Was that the toughest assignment you ever took on?
Yeah, that was, yeah, in terms of it, yeah. I mean, I debated whether to do it or not. And actually, you know, Bill Murray, who I go back with, he helped me in preparing. He gave me a book to read about how to talk to your children so they'll listen and how to listen so your children will talk to you. Because people warned me that OJ was such a good liar, BSer, if we can use that term, that he'll spin things and make you look stupid, as he has for even attorneys or prosecutors or police. And that book was very helpful in just trying to weave my way and negotiate. But I have had some other tougher, you know, sports moments. I was at the Earthquake World Series reporting with ESPN when that happened. I was at the Olympic bombing in Atlanta. I was doing the up-close show there. We were taping late at night when that bomb went off, and I stayed on through the night reporting. So there have been those tough assignments, but this one is a one-on-one live challenge interview. Was probably one of the most difficult, but I'm glad that we did it, and karma eventually caught up with the guy, you know, as we all know.
You and Bill Murray go way back. Did you just drop that in? How's that come about?
Yeah, I met him at the ESPYs of the early 90s, big sports fan. He was one of the stars of the show, and he had Dan Patrick and I come to New York and help write the little bit of the open with him, and then we hung out afterwards, and that's another tie with my Chicago Cubs and Chicago sports connection, because we became buddies, and I've gone to this golf tournament, we've hung out, and he always said to me, you should do more baseball, you know, play by play. I said, well, Bill, I like all sports. He's like, yeah, but you got to do more baseball, he was said. So he was one of the guys who actually pushed a lot when the Marquee Sports Network thing came up. He just said, oh, you got to do this. You got to make it work, you know. So, he's a lot of fun to hang out with.
It's nice to hear that. He has a bit of a reputation of being a little bit salty.
Yes, he can be. I was with him. Well, sometimes, you know, I was with him at like a restaurant bar one time, and some woman just sat down with him and starts telling her problems. He was trying to be polite. He was like, man, we're eating. He goes, if you want to walk back over there and come back over and say, excuse me, and say hello or something, that's one thing. So he those things happen a lot with him. But yeah, he could be a little salty. That's, you know, I think we all can when we're in certain situations. But he is a very astute, not only Chicago sports fan, but he could do the Masters. He could call a baseball game as an analyst. He really knows sports and knows the nuances of how to bring it to an audience even in a non-humorous way.
We're talking to Chris Myers for another couple of minutes. He's got a trivia show that debuts tonight on the Marquee Sports Network. Last week it was our guys Bruce Levine and Len Casper. Tonight, Carlos Pena and Dan Plesak. It's at 7 o'clock, presented by Miller Lite. You can play along at home. I was reading your Wikipedia page, which, of course, it just must all be true. It credits you, Chris, with so many, like, you're the first one to say this in sports. Can I throw some of these at you and you tell me if you actually were the first?
Yeah, let's see if they're accurate. I don't know what all is written on there, but okay. I know a hoop and some harm, and that deserves a wow. Those are three ball was mine on SportsCenter. They gave me the credit for that, but I don't know what else is in there.
Well, okay, so that was three ball. You're the first one to call a 3-point shot a three ball?
Yes, because people were calling it a tray and a 3-pointer, and when you're doing SportsCenter highlights at 2 a.m. like I was with Mike Tirico, I was just trying to come up with a different way. Oh, I know which game it was. It was a Larry Bird highlight, and he was shooting. He was like from the corner. He hit a 3-ball. That's how he had a free throw, and then he had a 2-ball in the lane, 3-ball in the corner pocket. I think is how I first said it. And then people liked it, and so then I used three ball, and then it became kind of common, just like, you know, fresh set of downs, a new set of downs instead of first down, just ways that comfortably you would say as a fan, or if you're talking to guys watching sports, you'd use that term so people know what it means, but it's just a different way of saying it.
Yeah, that was the other one I wanted to get confirmed. You coined fresh set of downs. I feel like on every broadcast.
You do hear it now? I hear it the last couple of years. I hadn't heard it much before that. So I've been given credit for that. I don't know. I assume on that one, because I had not heard it before until I said it and started using it, and then heard it in the last few years when I was doing more NFL play-by-play. So, yeah, somebody's going to give me credit for that one. I'll take credit for that. But we all use and borrow phrases that are tied to broadcasters that we listen to.
Did Champ Kind steal Whammy from you?
No, that one, I wish I did. I love that one. Well, I love, you know, Harry Carey, you know, his, you know, it's up there, it's out there. I mean, there's different ways of interpreting, you know, when somebody, when you grow up hearing somebody, they influence you in a way. But Champ Kind, yes, one of our heroes, Whammy. Yeah, that, you don't want to do, and I didn't come up with, you know, boom goes the dynamite. That wasn't mine either. So you don't want to. you don't want to force those. And I'm not mocking anybody, especially since we're this close to a mock draft. But I just, when things come out naturally, you know, there's another one that I don't know if it's on a list anywhere, but people loved it at the time. A few players got mad at me. But you remember in Caddyshack, you know, you're not good, you know, that kind of. So I used to I would throw that in on a strikeout pitch of a pitcher to a hitter kind of a thing. And then a few of the players say, hey, well, you know, when I saw them, they were like, we don't like that. What are you saying? I'm not good. I'm like, no, just coming from Caddyshack. It's a way to break up a strikeout and a swing and a miss. So that one kind of faded. You just throw them out there. And if they stick over time, then you go with them.
Chris, there are a lot of ways when you're behind a microphone to really embarrass yourself. But I don't know if there's an easier one than sideline reporting. Can you think of when they went to you on the sideline of an NFL game and you had perhaps absolutely nothing? And because it's easy to have nothing on that sideline. Everybody can see the guy's running to the locker room and his status is questionable. We all know that. I'm sure there were some occasions. Any one stand out over the others?
Well, I will say it is one of the – I love it, too, again, because it's live, it's happening, you're in the moment, it's the crowd, you're feeling the game. Fans, you know, they do listen to what you have to say. You have 20 seconds, maybe that to fit it in between the snap of the ball, and you don't want to step on the broadcast crew when you're up in that's up in the booth when you're on the sideline, especially when you're doing a Super Bowl or a playoff game where it's that magnified. And, you know, he's able to get to Tom Brady after – His Super Bowl comeback win against the Falcons and how dramatic that was. He was drained, and then with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid this year, it was mayhem just getting to the guys. And then, you know, often when you ask a question, they aren't really hearing it. There's just a sense of relief and joy. You got to let them express that. I mean, that's why I think that's so important in those moments. But I'll be honest with you, as far as an embarrassing moment on my part, this is the first – I've done like 6 or 7 Super Bowls with Fox as the field reporter, sideline reporter, Pam Oliver and Aaron Andrews on the other side through the course of the years. But this was the Eagles, and this was in Jacksonville. Remember that Super Bowl, Patriots-Eagles? And it was my first Super Bowl, and they said we were doing a pre-kick live interview. I had the Patriots sideline. I don't even know if Troy Brown will remember this, but remember Troy Brown, versatile Patriot. So they said, hey, you know, this first time I've done all this other television, but not a Super Bowl with 100 million people watching. And so they said, we're going to go to you right before a kick, and Troy, and we'll talk. And then, you know, make sure he's calm, he's comfortable. Here's a guy fired up for the game. So I said to Troy, I said, hey, I'm going to ask you 2 quick questions. I said, don't worry. I know you got a game to focus on. It's like, you know, 100 million people watching. Just relax. So, and as I said that to him, I'm thinking to myself, I haven't done this in front of 100 million. So I think it was Joe Brooks. And now down to the field and Chris Myers. And I froze. I like it felt like 10 minutes. I don't know, a few seconds. And Troy had like tapped my foot with his foot. Like, Chris, you're going to ask me a question. He like bailed me out and like, are you ready? And Troy. It was like one of those moments. So, and he really saved me. And after that, I always make sure, and you should learn this anyway, I should have, in remedial television, you never think of how many people are watching, because every night's the Super Bowl in my book. You just think of the person you're talking to. But I recovered from that. It could have been much more highly embarrassing, because they're in my ear, Chris, go, you're on, go. And I still was free until Troy practically tackled me to get me to talk to him. And we almost delayed the kickoff to the damn Super Bowl because of me freezing up. So that's what I'd like to bury in the archives. I hope it's not on anywhere. I hope somebody doesn't have a clip of that, because it was a scary moment for me, but it will never happen again, I can promise you.
You just said every night's the Super Bowl. That's in your Twitter bio. Is that some sort of maxim you live your life or career by?
Yeah, that's a corny way of myself firing myself up all the time. It started in local TV when, you know, you had a sportscast and you prepare for 4 minutes and then they cut you down to 2. And so everybody'd get angry. And I would just, you know, it was like I had every night's the Super Bowl. In other words, every broadcast, give it your best shot, because it could be the Super Bowl, whether you're doing, you know, the game of the week or you're doing a preseason game. That's really the approach. So that's kind of how I've tried to approach, you know, whatever I'm doing, including, you know, the play at home game show thing, because I have a hidden goal of wanting to be a game show host. I think I missed the mark on that, but this is the kind of fun thing, because it is the factors we talked about. And I'm glad that Marquee and even Fox Sports is doing a Fox Sports, the home game. It's not baseball trivia. It has a lot of other questions, but so they're giving me that opportunity to do that while we have no real games, no real sports going on or taking place.
Pat Sajak will retire in like 25 years. You can replace him.
Yeah. Yeah, then I'll be, yeah, we'll be the same age then or something. I don't know. I almost had a tryout for the Hollywood Squares where they were bringing that back, but I was under contract. They wouldn't, the network wouldn't at the time, wouldn't let me even go for the tryout. So I had to get over that. But the things fell into place, I think.
They wouldn't let you go for the tryout. Man, the exposure they would have received for that? Boy, those broadcast execs.
Yeah. I know. So, well, they've loosened the reins over the years. That was more. Yeah, it was 20 years ago. Jeez.
Play at Home Trivia presented by Miller Lite, 7 o'clock on Marquee, hosted by Chris Myers. Chris, our audience via the text line is loving this. We've enjoyed it as well. Let's do it again soon.
Yeah, thanks. I didn't know we were going to have so much time. You guys are fun to talk to. So anytime. But hopefully we'll have some real sports. But yeah, and thanks for plugging the show. You guys take care.
Thanks, Chris. You too.
Thank you, Chris. Right.
Yep. We'll see ya.
That's Chris Myers on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Who's saying, hey, we didn't know that he'd have this much time. Chris, there's nothing else going on. We have all the time in the world. What else are we doing?
We have inquisitive minds. There's things we want to know. His description of his start at the beginning of that Super Bowl in Jacksonville reminded me very much of Bruce Nolan and Bruce Almighty at the Maid of the Mist. Bruce, say something! You're a Jim Carrey man.
Yeah, of course. Bruce Almighty. I mean,
that's the funniest clean movie ever made. I don't know if I've ever enjoyed an all audiences movie more than Bruce Almighty in terms of comedies.
What a statement.
Comedies. I'm saying comedies. I'm not saying, you know, Sound of Music. I'm saying comedies. It's the funniest clean movie. It is for me.
Funniest. Okay, I'm going to sit on that one. I'm going to think about it.
All right.
I'm going to see if I can come back at you because it's not on my Mount Rushmore of Jim Carrey movies, but
no,
all
it's
of
not
his
on mine either. But I watched it the other day again, and it is, especially being in broadcasting. Maybe I'm a little bit biased, but backstabbing with Baxter.
He goes, sophomoric.
Yes, it's silly. It's sophomoric, and it makes me chuckle. And Chris Myers did the Bruce Nolan at the Maid of the Mist.
That was really fun with Chris Myers. All right, a movie for all things to all people that's funnier than Bruce Almighty. That is the assignment. We will come back. McNeil and Parker.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
On the score.
I don't want to be a product of my environment. I want my environment to be a product of me. Years ago, we had the church. That was only a way of saying we had each other. The Knights of Columbus were real headbreakers. True. They took over their piece of the city. 20 years after an Irishman couldn't get a job, we had the presidency. May rest in peace. That's what the don't realize no one gives it to you. You have to take it.
Birthday to one of the great actors of all time, Jack Nicholson. You heard him there in The Departed.
Yeah, Frank Costello in The Departed in 06. Jack is my favorite actor of all time. Likely has not made a movie in 10 years. Born on this day in New Jersey and so many films. And I do not share the philosophy his critics have espoused over the years that he just plays Jack Nicholson in every movie. I think he does have way more depth than his critics give him credit for. Yes, many of his characters are quirky, and he plays that role very, very well. The playboy in his younger years, even actually, oh, God, that movie he did with Diane Keaton in 03, Something's Gotta Give. Even though he was an older man in that film, he still was a womanizer, and he's always played that role pretty well. I am a huge Jack Nicholson fan, Danny Parkins. I call him my favorite actor of all time.
Yeah, I've heard you say that, and it's understandable. The guy is an incredible talent. I love the, when you have a cast like A Few Good Men, the people that were on it and around it and tell stories about that movie. I love the story. Like they had him for a very small amount of time. You know, Rob Reiner, they pay up, they get Jack Nicholson, they're going to shoot all of the scenes in a condensed filming schedule. But the courtroom scene, of course, which is iconic, it's this 3-page speech, and they've got to film it multiple times for multiple different actors. And I heard Kevin Pollak, who does a great Jack impression, tell this story on a podcast or a radio show. I forgot where he was telling it, but he said that he was willing to sit in for Jack and do the impression of it if they needed to keep doing so they could get more from Tom Cruise or more from the judge or more from this or more from that. And Jack just, even when they were done filming him, he kept doing the speech time and time and time again. And he was like, I'll be there for you as an actor so that your reaction shots are actually reacting to me. And he apparently, like the legend of the film set goes, that he delivered the same quality of it even when he knew there was not even a camera on him. It was expressly for the reaction shots of the other actors. He still delivered that speech the exact same way.
That's a good story. Yeah, Colonel Nathan Jessup in A Few Good Men, one of my favorite roles. And he's only in that film for probably about 14 minutes. And he's one of the guys you remember the most at the end of it. Here's one you may not have heard about Jack Nicholson. He spent a pretty good percentage of his life thinking his older sister, thinking his mother was his older sister. His sister had him at the age of 13, and the family refused to let her parent Jack as her son, so they told him that's your sister, and they never told Jack about this until he was wow, well into his adult life. That'll leave a mark.
Yes.
here's a little trivia question for you about Jack, Danny. Between the decade of the 60s through the 2000s, okay, so you got 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and the aughts. You've got 5 decades. Nicholson is one of just 2 actors to receive an Oscar nomination in all 5 of those decades. Who is the other?
Huh.
Just 2 actors between the 60s and the early aughts, the early 2000s, only 2 actors, Jack Nicholson and him, were nominated for an Oscar in each and every year. The other guy is a Brit. That should give it away for you.
Sorry. I mean, the first name I was thinking of was Robert Redford. Then I was thinking James Caan. I got nothing for you. Who is it?
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine is the answer, yeah.
Yeah, that's a hell of a trivia.
You know him
question.
Best probably from Austin Powers.
Of course. what a classic. Speaking of Austin Powers, actually, I was looking at, from your comedy contention earlier, I was thinking about it during the break. I think you might be a little off here because, and obviously it's subjective, it's just your opinion, but Bruce Almighty, not PG. It's PG-13. And just some scenes of sexual innuendo, a little bit of language in there.
Yeah.
And so that brings in other comedies. When you say broad comedies, I'll just go by comedies that have the same rating.
Right.
That brings in Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, Austin Powers, Ace Ventura, Anchorman, Rush Hour. Like other Jim Carrey movies, it brings in Liar Liar. Like it brings in Tommy Boy, which was PG-13. Brings in quite a few movies if you're going for just that level of rating to
say
that
you know,
Bruce
when
Almighty.
I posted on this on Facebook about this recently, and I didn't refer to it as a rated PG. I didn't go by the rating. I described it as an all audiences show because there are no F-bombs in Bruce Almighty. There's no salty language. There's one scene where Jennifer Aniston is feigning to be sexually aroused as she's standing in front of the mirror in the bathroom, and one scene where she says her boobs are growing. But I would have no problem showing that film to a 10-year-old.
I don't think you can have an F-bomb in a PG-13 movie. I think that automatically disqualifies it. I think that makes it R. I think there's you can say the S-word like once or twice. It's a really stringent thing. Like I know that they I think that with The Martian, they did that. What was The Martian rated? Because he says it one time, and I think that they did that to reduce the rating.
Yeah, so maybe I didn't consider anything in Bruce Almighty to be something objectionable for a youngster to see. And some of the, I probably wouldn't say the same about some other those. Anchorman, I wouldn't say the same. I probably would wait until teen years to show that to my kids.
Famed violence, I guess, in that movie. Rush Hour, I would have as funnier, and nothing really offensive in that movie. We just talked about Tommy Boy recently on the anniversary of Farley's death. There's a lot of them, but PG-13. There's actually like a shocking number of comedies. You normally think, oh, it's got to be R to be funny. There's a shocking number of really damn funny PG-13 movies as a result of my Google search. Funniest PG-13 movies ever.
Okay, cool. That's it's amazing. I think the internet is here to stay.
It really is. How did we look that up, Dave? I don't know. I can be a little bit of a ratings snob. Like when I saw, oh God, why am I blaming Monuments Men? When I saw the trailer for Monuments Men, I was like, this movie's going to be incredible. It's got all these people that I like. It's Clooney and Damon and John Goodman and Bill Murray, and it's a World War II movie.
George Clooney.
And then it's PG-13, and it was just awful.
It was terrible.
Just an absolutely terrible
John
film.
John Goodman stuffed into a soldier's suit. Soldier's
just
uniform.
Totally ridiculous.
It was awful. Bob Balaban had a piece of that too, didn't he? I think Bob Balaban was in that.
Yeah,
also.
I only saw it the once, but it's like you probably can't tell a World War II story and make it PG-13. Probably
at least
impossible.
Nobody would want to go see it anyway. Yeah, I also was excited about that, and then I learned that they were actually going to be out on the front line. Monument Men was Tom Sizemore? Did he have a piece of that as well? No,
man, I don't remember. I try to block it out.
I was
so disappointed. That was an early date for Steph and I. We went on her birthday. I was so excited to see the movie. We went on her birthday. And then the movie was just terrible. She holds it against me to this day. 82% of people liked this movie? That's ridiculous.
The Monuments Men?
Yeah, 31% though on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm seeing a 6.1% rating out of 10 on IMDb. Yeah, George Clooney and Matt Damon, they got away with wearing the soldier's uniform, but some of the others, absolutely not. And no one more than John Goodman, who looked absolutely hideous. Yes, Bob Balaban did have a piece of it. God, was that terrible. All for the name of art, right? Wasn't that their mission, to discover all of this art that had been hidden during the war?
Stolen art.
Yeah.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah.
Because you can have all that talent together.
Clooney directed that, too. I did not know that. So there's another a miss for George Clooney, who's not bad as a director. He directed The Descendants, and I thought he did a pretty nice job doing that.
George Clooney, fun fact, you know he made the majority of his money from tequila?
I did not know that.
Yeah. George Clooney, tequila. He had
George Clooney.
That's right. For as big of a movie star as he is, doesn't have that many great movies. He's a little overrated.
Who do you call your favorite actor?
Probably Damon.
Yeah.
Probably Damon. He's made the most movies that I like.
Yeah, I like almost everything I've seen him do. It's tough for me to pick one. That's why you say probably. I usually say probably Nicholson. For the longest time, it was Humphrey Bogart. And, you know, Robert De Niro has a very special place in my movie heart.
Like, I think Bale's probably a more talented actor than Damon. Daniel Day-Lewis is certainly more talented than Damon. But in terms of, like, the guy who's made the most movies that I enjoy, it's
right. The characters that you want to put your arms around. No one more than Randall Patrick McMurphy for me. That is the ultimate role for Jack Nicholson. A role that initially almost went to Michael Douglas.
Look at us just throwing fun facts at each other.
Yeah, we have no idea if any of them are right, but
yeah, people are saying that George Clooney did not direct The Descendants, for example. I have no idea if that's true or not. We'll look it up and put a bow on
this. Did someone just say that? Okay, yeah, there it is. Okay, I'll check that out. Okay, sorry about that.
Ish.
My bad.
McNeil and Parkinson on the score.
I mean, just look throughout the league. I keep saying this. I've been harping on this for 2 years. Give me a tight end.
Trey Burton's found a home. Shep tells us he's going to the Indianapolis Colts. Old friend Chris Ballard, who runs the show there. This segment brought to you by Grand Appliance and TV. Since 1930, Grand Appliance has been serving Chicagoland with expert sales advice, professional delivery, and the lowest prices every day. And that is still true today. They're open with expanded live chat and phone support and are here for you. Shop GrandAppliance.com today.
I actually was expecting Trey Burton to announce he's not going to play anymore based on the way he sounded last season, like a guy without a country, let alone a football team. But he's going to go play for the Colts. Best
of luck. Do me a favor and go
him.
Back and watch that Colts game.
No, I won't. Nope. He can underwhelm down there.
Yeah. Not going to miss him, unfortunately. Nice guy. When I had him on the show, he was a good interview, but not a productive football player. That's all. I mean, is what it is. They spent a lot of money on him, and not good. We get $1,047,000 per game, 16 games his first year, but
he
scratch the night before the playoff game.
He did. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, Trey Burton.
So the soundbite from the late Doug Buffone looking for a tight end, and you say not going to happen with 43 tomorrow with the kid from Notre Dame, and we'll say, I want to tackle in the second round, and it won't be tomorrow night. It'll be Friday night. Tomorrow night's only one round, so big tease all day tomorrow just to watch other teams get better or screw it all up. They don't all get better out of this. There will be mistakes made, but I'm holding out hope tomorrow night will come and go without Josh Jones, the tackle from Houston, getting his name called. Hopefully he's a day two guy and the Bears get a chance for him.
I know. Listen, that'd be great. I think the corner from TCU, Gladney, if he falls, if Delpit, the safety, falls somehow, that would be incredible. Probably unlikely. Ryan Pace, my guess is, will try to trade back with one of his picks in order to get some pick, because they got their 100 and right. We talked about it today. They've got the fourth round compensatory pick, and then the next pick that there is theirs is the fifth, 163. My guess is he's going to try to trade down with one of those picks to figure out a way to get back into the third round or the top of the fourth round, because that's a long way to go without a pick for Ryan Pace.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, even if he had more picks than he does, it's been his nature to move up or move down for multiple bodies, if that's what his fancy is at the time. And I have no reason to believe that's going to change at all. Hopefully one of the two, what are the names? The Stephanies, the football Stephanies, his wife Stephanie doesn't turn the vacuum cleaner on, so it throws his system out tomorrow. You're too young. You're too young to remember the era when it was over-the-air television with rabbit ears, when Mom used to fire up the vacuum or the blender. Your reception got all screwed up for the duration the appliance was deployed. I'm not kidding. That's what we had to deal with in the 70s, Danny.
Man, that's like the least cool thing I've ever heard about the 70s. When people talk about stories of the 70s, they make it sound so great, and free love and protest and drugs and sex and music. Yeah. And you're like, the vacuum. That's what really got it going in the 70s.
It ruined it all. Yeah, it screwed us all up.
Joe Ostrowski's coming up next. He's got a show from 6 to 10 tonight, so hang out with Joe.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Thank you, Herb Lawrence. Is it Joe's birthday?
Happy birthday, Joe.
I don't know if it's Joe's birthday, but happy birthday. Oh, it is. Okay, perfect. Herb Lawrence, we appreciate all of your hope. That makes sense that Tanny would play that. I just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, do the math.
Around. Yeah, exactly. Nick Shepkowski's our executive producer. He said
Joe
I would
Dooney.
Danny all over myself today. I learned
Joe Tooney.
Joe Tooney.
Can be a verb. We've got a bunch of Joe Toonies around here.
Joe Tooney.
Tom Thayer and Chris Myers were our guests. Chris Tannehill made us sound better than we are each and every day. For Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. Scoring team, day 23 in the books. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
Thank you, Chicago, for your kindness, for your generosity, for your patience. Thank you for my life. Shine on, heal on, Maui Beach Boy on, David Axelrod, Sam Smith on. It's all of them. Here we go. It all rolls into one. Thanks for my life.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.